From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, this is Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Naps Chat. Over the past few months, the Postal Service has been confronted by the spiraling COVID pandemic, and that's on top of its pre-existing financial challenges. Today's guest, Senator Susan Collins, will discuss legislation she recently introduced to help the Postal Service survive this pandemic. Senator Collins is recognized amongst her colleagues as one of the most knowledgeable and experienced members of Congress on postal issues. Senator Collins chaired the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee twice. She is a senior member of the Senate Appropriations Committee, chairs the Senate Committee on Aging, chairs the Senate Subcommittee on Employment and Workplace Safety, and serves on the Senate Committee on Intelligence. It is no secret of the high regard I personally have for the senator, her work ethic and commitment to the Postal Service, and her beloved state of Maine. Senator Collins, welcome to Naps Chat.
Well, thank you so much, Bob. It's been such a pleasure to work with you on postal issues over many years, and I'm delighted that we're able to join forces now in support of a bipartisan bill that I've introduced with Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat of California, to help provide the United States Postal Service with financial relief to help offset the losses caused by COVID-19 and to put the agency on the path to long-term solvency.
Senator, let me start by noting an honor which you received a few years ago from the Center for the Study of the Presidency in the Congress. It was the Publius Award in recognition of your leadership and your bipartisanship. As students of American history would note, Publius was the pseudonym of the American patriots who authored the Federalist Papers. Broadway heralded Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and John Jay. Two facts are remarkable about the authors. First, despite their very deep and profound political differences, they were able to construct the framework for our government. Second, and more to the point for today's discussion, their 85 columns appeared in newspapers circulated throughout the colonies via the colonial postal system. Now, Senator Collins, could you share your views about the importance, like our founding fathers did, about bipartisanship when something is so important as a postal service, and the importance of the postal system that helped birth this nation, particularly with reference to the legislation you mentioned previously?
Well, the postal service has always been an integral part of our society, our country, and as you pointed out, its valuable role was recognized by the founding fathers. We all know that Benjamin Franklin was an early postmaster general, and it has been critical to maintaining communications among Americans from the very earliest days of our republic. In fact, you could make a very strong case that it was the Postal Service in its earlier incarnations that helped establish us as a country and bring us together. Today, the Postal Service continues to play an extraordinarily important role, particularly in rural America, where it often is the source of delivery of essential medicines to senior citizens, and as well as keeping us in touch and delivering packages that may have been put together and ordered from online as well as other retailers. So the Postal Service has been around since the very early days of our country, and I would argue that it remains equally essential to our society and economy today.
For many, many years, Senator Collins, you have referred to the Postal Service as the linchpin of a $1.6 trillion mailing industry that employs more than 7.3 million Americans. In the wake of this pandemic, how much more so is the Postal Service important to our country?
The Postal Service is absolutely critical, and you're right that I have always referred to it as the linchpin of that mailing industry, because I think many people don't realize that without the Postal Service, those millions of jobs and billions of dollars would be jeopardized. So it remains incredibly important, and during this pandemic, even more so. Again, I don't think the Postal Service has gotten the credit that it deserves. Mail has continued to be delivered despite the pandemic and despite the fact that these frontline workers have been exposed to COVID-19 and in some cases contracted it and even died from it. So I think that we owe a debt of gratitude to those frontline workers. I visited a processing plant in Maine recently, in Hamden, Maine. It was particularly poignant for me because several years ago, it had been targeted for closure, which would have been terrible in terms of the timeliness of mail delivery for two-thirds of our state. So I stood outside during a shift change with a big sign saying, "Thank you, postal workers." And that thank you extends not only to the postal employees at that plant, but everyone from rural letter carriers to postmasters to postal supervisors and to those who are working at the post offices that dot communities throughout our country.
One of the provisions in the legislation that you introduced, S-4174, the Postal Service Emergency Assistance Act, provides for the prioritization of the purchase of protective gear for postal employees. Can you talk a little bit about that provision in light of your comments?
Yes, there would be a newly created Postal Service COVID-19 Emergency Fund, and it is intended to be used for COVID-19 related losses, such as the drop in the volume of marketing mail, as so many businesses have been closed, but also expenses such as masks and gloves and other plexiglass shields. For example, when I go to the Bangor, Maine post office, the plexiglass shields have been installed to help protect both customers and employees. Well, that all costs money to do that at every single post office in the United States and to ensure that the thousands of postal employees have the masks, the sanitizing solutions that they need, the gloves to safely perform their work.
You also referenced the importance of timeliness of the delivery of the mail because the potential closure or consolidation of the Hamden plant could have resulted in the delay of mail. As you might know, the Postal Service has circulated some memorandums, unnamed, unsigned memorandum, that would make operational changes is delaying the mail and in part blaming that on the lack of revenue. How would your legislation address that? And what do you think about the importance of timeliness of mail?
As you know, back in 2012, when we were working together on the 21st Century Postal Service Act, we wanted to require the Postal Service to preserve service and delivery standards. And I've always been concerned that we would cause the Postal Service to lose customers if there were deep service cuts, widespread closings of either post offices or processing plants, or if there were steep price hikes. And I'm concerned about news reports that the new Postmaster General is establishing new operational changes that could cause serious delays in mail delivery. And according to news reports, which I realize haven't been confirmed, but the news that I've read is that the Postmaster General has circulated some documents outlining changes that are aimed at reducing costs, but if they slow delivery, they may cause people to seek out other ways, businesses to seek out other ways of delivering their marketing mail or packages. And so I'm very concerned about that. I have asked to meet with the new Postmaster General so that I can express those concerns directly to him. I think that such changes could well end up being penny wise and pound foolish, because if the Postal Service slows its delivery and causes customers to seek delivery services elsewhere, the Postal Service will end up being in worse financial condition. So I'm very skeptical about these reports.
There are two other provisions in the legislation that you and Senator Feinstein introduced. One of them is to provide up to $25 billion of assistance to the Postal Service to the extent it could certify how much of a financial impact the COVID pandemic has on the Postal Service. Can you talk a little bit about that provision?
Yes, that really is the heart of the bill, that it would provide up to $25 billion to cover revenue losses or operational expenses tied to COVID-19. And prior to receiving the funds, the Postal Service would need to certify in its quarterly and annual reports to the Postal Regulatory Commission that the funds are needed to cover either COVID-19 related shortfalls or additional expenses, like those plexiglass shields that I mentioned that have been installed in post offices across the country. And I think that it's important for accountability to have the Postal Service detail those expenses, but I have no doubt that they exist. And my worry is that the drop in marketing mail was so precipitous, as well as a decline in first class mail, that the Postal Service could be in danger of not being able to meet its payroll either the very end of this year or the beginning of next year. And that would be unacceptable. We simply cannot allow that to happen. I would argue that the Postal Service is needed now more than ever. Its dedicated employees go to work each day. They face increased risk as they continue to ensure reliable delivery of needed prescriptions, safety net benefits, all those stimulus checks. Well, the vast majority of, not the vast majority, but many of them were delivered through the mail. Not everybody had direct deposit that was available. And there are people who are getting essential supplies through the mail, that are getting food through the mail. So I think that the Postal Service is providing critical services through this pandemic that might otherwise be unavailable, particularly to those who are living in more rural areas of our country.
Indeed, the vice president of the National Association of Postal Supervisors, when he was asked to comment on the introduction of the bill, he indicated, and I quote, "This critical and timely legislation speaks directly to the voice of America, emphasizes sustainability of the Postal Service as an essential service provider of medicines and other goods in today's environment." As the chairman of the Senate Committee on Aging, the Postal Service, particularly in this environment, pandemic environment, has a very important role to play with for those who are infirmed or homebound, such as senior citizens.
That is so true, because of course, with the stay-at-home orders that many states issued, people were only going out for essential business, and many seniors were not going out at all. They were relying on Meals on Wheels delivery, or a delivery of food through the Postal Service, delivery of their medications, which most seniors take through the Postal Service. So the Postal Service, I would argue, has been more critical now than ever. It's an affordable, reliable shipment option. And for many rural Americans, it represents a lifeline.
One of the other provisions in your legislation was in reference to a $10 billion loan that was authorized under the CARES Act, H.R. 748, which was signed into law in late March. And that legislation extended to the Postal Service $10 billion of credit authority. However, there were unwritten limitations and restrictions imposed if they should ask for that $10 billion loan. Your legislation lifts those limitations and restrictions and reverts it back to the practice as has been in the past about loans to the Postal Service.
That's right. The CARES Act, which included that $10 billion in loan authority, in many ways was pretty hollow because it was difficult for the Postal Service to access the money. And in addition, this administration has been hesitant to provide any kind of assistance to the Postal Service. So I think it would have been very difficult for the Postal Service to ever tap into that money, even though it was structured as a loan. So in our bill, in the Collins-Feinstein bill, we have lifted those restrictions so that the Postal Service truly could access that $10 billion in borrowing authority. Otherwise, my fear is that the Postal Service would never be able to tap into that money.
I know that there are a large number of members of the Senate who have historically been very supportive of the Postal Service on both sides of the aisle. Current members, I know you have worked with Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Steve Daines of Montana, Jerry Moran of Kansas, Roy Blunt of Missouri. They've all been very strong supporters of the Postal Service in the past. Why is it that we're having such a difficult time right now on helping the Postal Service access financial relief in light of the COVID-19 crisis?
Well, I am pleased that our bill was bipartisan, and in addition to Senator Feinstein co-sponsoring it, Senator Daines from Montana, whom you mentioned, Senator Jones from Alabama, and Senator Tester were all co-sponsors. And as you pointed out, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska and Jerry Moran of Kansas have always been strong supporters as well. And I think the reason is twofold. One is there are so many needs created by this pandemic, whether it's school systems that need additional funding so that we can safely reopen schools, or whether it's municipal governments that have seen tremendous shortfalls in their funding, and we want to make sure that they don't have to lay off police officers and firefighters and sanitation crews and public works employees, or whether it's the need for major investments in testing and research. There are a lot of demands and a lot of segments of our society, such as our small businesses, where I've worked very hard with the Paycheck Protection Program to help literally 3 out of 4 small businesses in the state of Maine and similar numbers nationally sustained just, well, in Maine, it's 240,000 jobs. There are a lot of demands on Washington for funding, and they're legitimate demands. They're, if you look at the transportation sector, for example, the airlines originally were down 95% in travel. It's now come back to about 80% down. So they're only 20% of what they were. So part of it is the many demands on our resources. The second seems to be some opposition that we're getting from the administration. I will be frank with you, and it's why we need the help of everybody who recognizes the important role of the USPS, that the administration is not for our bill. And that doesn't mean that Dianne Feinstein and I will give up, and you know me well enough to know that I never give up. But it is, we are getting a lot of pushback from the administration and from the president. So that makes it more difficult, and I think my job is to educate people about why the Postal Service is absolutely essential. I'm going back to the linchpin analogy, to our economy and to communications and to our seniors. Those are themes that I'll continue to stress as I push for this support.
I think I should share with our listeners a conversation that I had at a Zoom meeting that included yourself and Senate Majority Whip Senator Cornyn last week, where I posited the question to Senator Cornyn about, posed the same question and referenced your legislation, and he responded, "I guess we'd be better off if we listened to Senator Collins on the Postal Service."
I must say, I loved his response on that. So I thank you for raising the question, and I know how hard you're working to help us gather support and advance this important legislation. And I want everyone to know who's listening to your podcast that I'm going to continue to push to get it included in this coronavirus package. But should we fall short, I will continue to work to get this bill passed, because I do believe that it is going to be essential to provide significant financial assistance to the Postal Service.
One last question, Senator, before I let you go, because I know you have an extraordinarily busy schedule and we caught you right after a vote. Nobody should confuse the legislation with long-term relief of the Postal Service. There is a time for that. But how can we, as postal supervisors, we in the postal community, help you to help the United States Postal Service survive this pandemic?
Thank you for that question. And I would really encourage your members to reach out to their members of Congress and the Senate in particular, and urge them to co-sponsor our bill and explain why it's so necessary. The more examples that you can give, the better. And I think that would be very helpful. I'd like to build up the number of co-sponsors. We're starting to, but we're continuing our efforts to do that as well. So if every single postal supervisor in this country would call their senators and ask them to co-sponsor the bill, boy, what a difference that would make for us.
With that, I'm going to let you go, Senator Collins. I'd like to thank Senator Collins for joining us on this week's edition of Naps Chat. If our listeners like Naps Chat, please give us a positive response on the iTunes page. And with that, till next week, have a great weekend.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make